Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy with me, will you please? Deuteronomy means the second law. Look at chapter 4. In the book of Deuteronomy, get to chapter 4. Look at verse 7. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so high, so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself to keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. What nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? Let's pray. Father, we thank You today that we have the Word of God in our hands, and we thank You that we have a land of freedom we can come and worship. We thank You, Lord, for the gathering of believers, that we're not walking all by ourselves, but Lord, we have good friends and loved ones that believe like us and going on the same way. And we thank You for another day to preach Your gospel. We pray, dear Father, that You'd touch every heart and life that's here. You know the hearts. You know those that are lost and on the road to hell. You know those, Lord, that are on the way to heaven. And Lord, You know some of us that aren't really, maybe we're saved and on the way to heaven, but not really walking right with You. I just ask, Lord, You'd take each one of us wherever we are. You'd draw us close to Yourself. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have His way in this service today, that You would touch lives. And I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there's been somewhat of a burden on my heart about prayer here just recently. And so as I begin to study and look at it, I begin to think about God's people and God's people in prayer. You know, I think it's one of the most wasted things, opportunities, let me put it that way. I think it's one of the most wasted opportunities Christians have. You know, it's not like, I've tried to call some people. I've tried to call people at Bell Telephone a few times. And I get these, you know, wait, all our operators are busy right now, and if you'll punch button here, and if you want this, you punch this next button. And about 15 minutes later, maybe, you know, I get a hold of somebody that I can talk to. Or you get a hold of someone, you know, and you got a problem. They've messed up on the computer. They're giving you two magazines a month instead of one a month for 2 years, you understand? So you're trying to get the thing hooked up, and boy, you can't get a hold of somebody that can make a decision. You just can't find the right person. But you know, it's not that way with God. 24 hours a day, 365 days out of a year, you're in direct contact. You know who this is? This is somebody that can do something. Somebody that can do something. It's not somebody who can't help you. It's not somebody who is refusing to enter into your life. No, no, no. God Almighty is interested in your life, your future, your eternity, and your every day. God's interested in what you say every day. God's interested in what you think every day. You can get a hold of God. And I mean, He tells us to. One of the biggest doctrines. Now, you take this Bible and begin to read it. Let me tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find prayer from right at the first Genesis all the way through to Revelation. One of the biggest doctrines by far. You just take you a concordance, or you take you a subject index studying the Bible, and you're going to find one of the very biggest doctrines as far as the number of scriptures applied to it is prayer. And who are the people that God's dealing with? His people. His people. You know what He said right here? I thought that was just a tremendous verse. What nation is there so great? I know that's applied to the nation of Israel. This is being given to the nation of Israel. They've been carried out of Egypt. They're out there in the wilderness, and God's giving them this law. And He said, what nation is so great that's done so much for you? Well, how much closer are we than they? If this applied to them, in fact, the Bible tells you in the New Testament, everything in the Old Testament applies to the church. Everything back there. It was written for our learning. It was written for our understanding. And if Israel was that close to God, think how close you are to God. You see, Israel was a people living before the law, and as they looked at that law, they found themselves sinners, and they offered sacrifices. And every one of those sacrifices was simply a way of looking forward to the sacrifice the girls sang about just a while ago. The one sacrifice for sins forever made on the cross of Calvary over 1900 years ago. That's the one that pays for sins. There never was a goat, a lamb, or a bullock that ever made the final payment for sin. It took the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And every goat and bullock and little lamb that was slain, every little turtle dove put upon the altar, was simply a type and a picture to look forward to the future when Jesus Christ would come and offer that sacrifice that would effectively remove sin. So what people is so great as the church? Israel did not have the Holy Spirit living within them on a permanent basis. You, as a living child of God, have been indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. The day you got saved, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God came in and took residence in your spirit. He made you alive. You're now a part of God. You're a son of God or a daughter of God. You belong to God. You're a part of the family of God. Now I'll tell you what, I love you, but I got a group of five kids and a wife that I love more than I love you. You understand? You're my family, bless your heart, and I love you, but you know, I got another little family that's awful close to me. Good night, I've invested a lot of money in them. I have put so much food out, I can remember when I was wondering where I was going to get the money to buy milk for all those kids, all the milk they drank. I think it was 2 gallons a day at one time. I'm probably wrong, probably lying, but that's the way it seemed like at any rate. It looked like it was 2 gallons a day, you know. Good night, I didn't have enough money to buy that much milk. What are you going to do? You give up something else, you know, to buy what you have to. Yes, I've got a family. You know what? Now, you probably wouldn't walk up to my house and walk in without knocking, but they would. You probably wouldn't come out and expect me to invite you to dinner. Now, maybe you would, but I mean, I don't know who, but you know, they do. Sure. They don't mind coming out and spending the night. Well, they know they're welcome. Why? Because they're my children. Well, you're a child of God. You know how close God is to you? You walk through your days thinking God's far off, and God's not far off. He's close. He's near. He wants to touch you. He wants to be in on your decisions. God Almighty is your Father. That's if you're saved. Now, if you're here right now and you're still on the fence saying, well, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Don't really want to go to God or not. I don't know whether I really want to repent of my sins or not. Well, then you're lost. And God's not your Father. God's your enemy. And God's going to be your judge. And God's going to cast you into hell if you don't get saved. And that's just plain simple of the Bible. If you come to Jesus Christ, God Almighty forgives your sins, saves your soul, makes you a son of God, and seals you forever. Amen. That's what you ought to do. You ought to come to God and get into the family of God, then you'd be close to God. A couple of verses there, but I thought about that. What nation is there so great? And what is the greatness of this nation? It's that God's so close. That's what makes the nation so great. And what makes your position as a Christian so great is that God is so close. God is so close. Look at another verse with me. Over in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he's talking about his people again. And this is a very familiar verse because we use it many times in preparation for revival meetings and things of that nature. If my people, this is Solomon dedicating the temple, if my people, which are called by my name, you think that include us?
Amen.
My people called by my name, what's the name? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When they baptized them, there in the book of Acts, they baptized them. Jesus told them to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And when Peter went out and baptized, he baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You think he knew what he was doing? The Bible said he was full of the Holy Spirit. You don't know the name of God is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then while I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What? What a promise. You know, one of your biggest problems? You're just an old sinner. I mean, though some of you are saints, you're still sinners. Though, you know, you may be the best person in town, you might be the sweetest little mother inside this room, you're still a sinner. You know what happens? We find out as we walk through this life, it's just failure after failure after failure. And praise God for our successes. Wouldn't it be terrible if you never had a success? Oh, but I tell you, in the midst of all your successes, don't get too proud because tomorrow you're going to bomb out. You know the guy that was so great at hitting home runs, Babe Ruth? Man, he was great. And I'm not sure even the others that have matched his title and done it in different time seasons and numbers of games and stuff like that even really match up to the guy. He hit the most home runs. Man, he was great. You know what he held a record for? The most strikeouts. You know that? Most home runs, most strikeouts. Well, you know, we're getting ready. This is football season, and oh, Super Bowl's coming. And I'm not going to see some of you next Sunday night because you're so backslidden. You're going to stay home to watch Dallas. Aha, I got you this week, didn't I? I'm not going to give you any slack. Okay, we're not changing our service for no stupid football game. You understand?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good preaching, Brother Lindell. If you don't pat me on the back, I will myself then, anyway. It's football season. You know these greatest quarterbacks? What's their percentage of passing? 65%, 67%. Someone just a little above 50%. You know what happens? People aren't perfect. And the guy that's kicked 29 field goals is going to miss on the most important one of his life. Yeah, it happens. Well, you see, you're just not perfect. You just happen to be a sinner. You just happen to have flaws and failures within you. But what makes it so great is that God is so near to you and He understands you. He knows you. And He said, if my people, He didn't say if the lost world out there would get right. He didn't say if all the beer joints closed up and all the whorehouses closed up. He said, if my people, revival is not dependent upon the world out there. The revival is dependent upon God's people repenting of their sins, getting their heart right with God, and living as they ought to live.
Amen.
All of you ought to said amen to that, but half of you backslidden anyway, aren't you? Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, I knew you'd admit to that anyway, wouldn't you? Well, let's think about another thing, another verse here. In Luke chapter 2, and in verse 36, there's a very interesting woman. Luke 2:36. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Now, I never have figured out how old this woman is. She's at least 84 years old. But it's possible the way this verse comes out that she's 84 plus 7 plus however old she was when she got married. She might be over 100. Maybe might be 105 or 6 years old. I'm not sure. She's at least 84 years old, depending on how it's worded there. She's an old woman. You know what it says she was doing? It said she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Look, if you will, to the 6th chapter of the book of Acts. And look at verse 4. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. They've selected some men. They're going to select some men to wait on tables and take care of the needs of the people. And they are going to do what? We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We'll give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You know, Spurgeon was known as a great preacher. Some of you have heard the name, some of you haven't. He was a great preacher in the 1800s in London, England. In fact, you can go to any bookstore around as a religious bookstore, and you can find Spurgeon sermons. That's how popular he was. When he was preaching in his day, they printed them in the newspaper every week, and they spread that all the way around the world. He was read around the world. And then, at the end of the year, they'd take those 52 sermons, bind them in one book, and he'd sell those books. And you can actually buy those books today. That's how famous a preacher he was. Without a microphone, without any means for his voice, he preached to 5,000 to 10,000 people in the open air. He had a huge congregation. He had about, I think, 3 balconies in it. And he preached to these great crowds. And he was so popular that they didn't have enough room for the crowds that would come, so they gave out tickets. You didn't have to buy a ticket, but they gave out tickets so that you had a place to get the seat. He had a basement. And in that basement, every Sunday he preached, there were 300 men on their knees praying the whole time he preached. Reckon that'd do you some good? You reckon God hears anything like that? Or God just ignores something like that? You reckon God pay attention if there were 300 men got down and began to pray for that one man preaching? There's another famous man in American history, religious history, Charles G. Finney. Finney was a lawyer, got converted, got saved, began to preach, gave up his law practice, began to preach. He went around and he would go into a town to hold a revival meeting. And he didn't go there for a 2-week meeting or a 10-day meeting, or as they have today, 3-day meetings. That's a big revival. I'm sorry. I just have to make fun of that 3-day meeting. He'd go in there for 6 months to a year and a half, stay in one town, preach every day and every night. Some of them asked him about his success. Well, you see, he had a partner that nobody knew about. He had a partner that traveled with him, went everywhere with him. And when Finney was preaching, he was out in the woods crying to God for Finney's preaching. That's right. You can read about him. But he never got famous. Only some people who want to know would even know his name. Here is a woman, at least 84 years old, or she's just been a widow for 84 years old after she'd been married for 7 years. So she might be 105 years old. But right at the birth of Jesus Christ, it says, the Bible says, this is the word of God I have in my hands, the Bible says she served God with prayer. She served God with prayer. Maybe you can't go to Mexico or Guatemala or Brazil or some other place like that and preach. Maybe you're not bold enough to preach the gospel in front of the Alamo. Maybe you don't want to go visit the nursing homes and talk to people. Maybe you're not going to go down to the rescue mission and try to win somebody to Jesus. Maybe you're not going to be a bold witness on the campus, college campus where you are, the high school where you're at. But I tell you what, you could pray. Maybe you wouldn't want to pray in front of the congregation. Maybe you wouldn't want to have anybody hear what you have to say. But that doesn't mean you couldn't get off in the woods and get beside a tree somewhere and get out on your knees and ask God to bless some people. Maybe the missionaries would have a better field. Maybe they would be more protected. Maybe there'd be more money in their pockets. Maybe their kids wouldn't go wrong. Maybe a lot of things would happen. If you prayed and served God by prayer, you're too late. I tell you something else, that's worse. You're a believing unbeliever. Oh, you believe in the Lord? You believe in heaven? You believe in salvation? You don't believe it's worth your time to pray. Is that right? Is that where you are? Must be. You haven't been spending much time praying. I tell you what. Those of you that are faithful to pray, I want to embarrass you a little bit. Put a clock on it. Write down when you start to pray. Oh, you got a prayer time? You real powerful prayer warriors, write down, okay, I'm starting to pray right now. It's 10:15. And then I want you to pray all you can, as hard as you can, for everybody you can think of. And when you quit praying, see how long you've been praying. That'll embarrass you. We don't spend much time in prayer. I'm the same as you. When I point a finger at you, there's three of them looking back at me. You know what? I get convicted every time I read about prayer that I don't pray enough. But I bet I pray more than you. You know what? There's a God in heaven. His office hours are 24 hours a day. He loves you more than you love yourself. He loves your children more than you love your children. He loves your husband and wife more than you love your husband and wife. And yet you spend your time seeing some doctor, listening to some psychologist, talking to some teacher, worrying about some pastor. No, no, no. You need to be talking to the God in heaven. You need to be protecting your children. You know what you need to do? You got some children, you need to give them to God. I think it's a big mistake not to give your children to God. I gave every one of mine to God. Some of them, most of them before they were born. Eddie, poor boy, he was already there before I got saved. So I had to give him after he was born. But I tell you something, why don't you commit them into God's hands? Some of you got a rocky marriage. Things aren't going the way they ought to be. Why don't you get yourself right with God and then pray for that stubborn wife? No, I know you're going to tell her off. I'm a macho man. I'm a big hero. I'll knock your teeth out. That gets you a long ways, doesn't it? Really makes things go good. And oh, you women, you're really going to get your man right with God, aren't you? I'm going to nag him until he does what I want to do. No, 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 that doesn't work. You know what these old men do? They stick their back up like this and say, I ain't going to do it. Am I right or am I wrong? Amen. You know what you ought to do? Why not pray? How about serving God with prayer? You think maybe you could bring some people that are lost to a point of salvation by praying for them? I believe you could. You think maybe you could help some families that are in desperate trouble right now by praying for them? I think you could. You don't have time to pray, do you? You're too busy polishing your boat and washing your car and working at the extra job to pay for the boat and the car. I know where you live. Shoot, man. I understand where you're at. Maybe your time would be a whole lot better spent if you prayed. If you pray. In teaching my classes, I've enjoyed going back over one of Spurgeon's books that I always teach. It's called Lectures to My Students. And he was talking about the prayer. And he was saying the best place to get a sermon was in your prayer closet. Pretty good idea. Pretty good idea. You know what they said? We'll give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. I wonder if it would change your ministry if you gave yourself to prayer and the ministry of the Word. I wonder if it would change your witness or your testimony. I wonder if it would change your house or your life if you gave yourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Gave yourself to it. You know, I've given myself a lot of things in my life. I gave myself to checkers at one time. Became a pretty good checker player. I gave myself to chess at another time. Yeah, I got to rock and play. Couldn't beat Brent, but got to rock and play. I've given myself to tennis and to bicycle riding. I've given myself to computers. Have you ever heard of football widows? I believe some of you guys are given to football. Amen. I thought I'd throw that in. Some of you given to computers. I've heard of computer widows. I was dealing with a family. It was a little bit of trouble here just this last month. And her complaint was, he comes home, goes into his computer, never spends any time with me. What if you gave yourself to prayer? You can do it because you do it for everything else, don't you? You give yourself to something. Some of you got golf clubs hanging on the wall, and boy, every week you got to go play golf. Some of you got your fishing boat. It's all polished up and ready to go. I mean, everything's laid. You just hook onto it and haul off. You're ready to go. Some of you are given to 1,000 things. Why not give yourself to prayer? This woman, the Bible says, served God by prayer. Do you reckon then that you could serve God by prayer? I think you could. I don't think there's a person in here, not 5 years old or 85 years old or anybody in between, but what couldn't do this ministry if you believed it. Well, it's there. Well, let's take a look at some more verses. I've got a few verses here I want to show you. In 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 15, he's talking about praying, and if you understand verse 14, he's really putting down this tongues movement that we have a lot of today. And he's saying, verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Hey, it's fine to be spiritual and have the Holy Spirit lead you in prayer. That's a good thing. But I tell you what, when Paul prayed, he prayed with the understanding. And I think you ought to pray with your understanding. It's not enough to be in a mood of prayer or in a trance of prayer. You ought to be praying with the understanding. How do you pray with the understanding? You think what you're saying. How do you pray with the understanding? You know what you want to pray for. You know who you're praying for. You know what you're praying for. When my son Billy was convicted and going to prison in Mexico, I knew what to pray for. Lord, deliver him. Well, it took 2 years. By the grace of God, he's still preaching in Mexico, and he got delivered, and he finally got out of all that mess. Oh, he went through a terrible time. I went through a terrible time. His mother went through a terrible time, and some of you went through a terrible time. But you knew what to pray for. I was praying with the understanding. I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew who to go to get it, and I knew what I wanted to come out of it. You pray with the understanding. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, why don't you take the Bible and learn how to pray? You can just take your Bible and read till you find Paul praying. Take your New Testament anywhere, in the book of Acts, all the way through the epistles. Why don't you find where Paul is praying? He'll tell you, I'm praying. You want to know how to find it? I'm praying. I pray for you. I cease not to pray for you. And then he'll pray. And you know, those are pretty good prayers for you to learn. Why don't you pray like Paul prayed? Maybe you get some of the results that Paul got. He said, pray with the understanding. Well, I want to show you about four things to pray for. And this is the biblical answer here, so I don't know how you can get away from it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. I want to tell you something to pray for. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. You and I might make, I won't say might, will make a bigger difference. In our families, in our life, in our ministry, in the salvation of lost souls, in the power of our preachers, in the fellowship of the saints, and delivering people out of troubles, if we'd pray like we ought to pray. Paul says here, and I'm not going through all of it, I'm just talking about this one thing of prayer. Verse 18, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And ask for me, what do you want to pray for me? Here's what I want you to pray for me, Paul said. Ask for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Oh, listen to me. Is it any wonder that Spurgeon could preach and they wanted to print it in the newspapers and people wanted to read it around the world and people are still reading his sermons when 300 men are in the basement praying for him to preach every day? Some of you sometimes get in the habit of criticizing preachers, and bless your heart, lots of preachers deserve to be criticized. I deserve to be criticized. But you know, we might do more good if we started praying for it. Praying for it. What do you pray for? Boldness. Utterance. That I may open my mouth boldly. Oh, we're too sheepish about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We back off in a corner and say, well, I guess you'll just know I'm a Christian. No, God told you to open your mouth and let people know you're found today. I want you to help Joey to preach boldly today. I want you to help Brian and Steve to preach boldly today. God, give them an utterance. Lord, when they get up to preach, let them preach with power. May they touch somebody. May people not get away from their words. May what they have to say stick down in their heart and they can't get away from it. God, I pray for each of these preachers that they'd preach boldly. I pray for those guys that are going to go down in the downtown this afternoon and preach in the streets. God, give them boldness. You reckon God will do it? You reckon that's in the will of God? Can you figure that's in the will of God? No, I know. Lord, help me get a new Cadillac. Lord, I sure want my business to go good. Oh, God, I want to be a rich man. Reckon God's interested in that? Not near as much as He is souls being saved. I'm not saying God's not going to answer that for you. I'm not saying God's not going to help you that way, but He probably won't. Not for most of us. Not for me, anyway. But you might ought to pray that people would open their mouth boldly. You know, some of you, I know good and well, you have a problem witnessing. You'll want to say something and you'll just shut up. Maybe you ought to pray that for yourself. God, open my mouth boldly. To make known the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think so? Oh no, we pray for our headaches and we pray for aspirins and we pray for 1,000 other things that aren't going to do very much for us right here. But I tell you what we ought to be praying for. We ought to be praying for the souls of men. Amen. This world is on its road to hell. I don't care whether you believe in hell or not, whether you believe in it or not, it's not going to make much difference. You're going there if you don't have Jesus.
Amen.
You can be a member of 5 different churches and be baptized forwards, backwards, sideways, 3 ways under any name you want to. It won't save your soul. Salvation is not in the San Antonio Water Department. I want you to understand, it's not even in the Jordan River. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way that can be applied is by faith. You have to have Jesus. Without Jesus, you'll never make it to heaven. I might open my mouth boldly, but I might be a bold preacher of the gospel. That's why I want you to pray for me. You ever pray for your pastor? All you pray for is me and my wife, my 2 sons, us 4, no more. Is that poetic? It's a lot of truth to it. I don't know if it's poetic or not, but there's a whole lot of truth to it, the way we pray. Am I right? How about serving God by prayer and praying for preachers, the preachers you know, that they'd open their mouth boldly. Utterance given to them to make known the mystery of the gospel in a hostile world. This world loves Christmas, but it does not love Jesus. This world loves a little baby they can play with and brag on and goo-goo to, bless. But they don't love the Jesus of the Bible. They hate the Jesus of the Bible because He's a King of kings and Lord of lords. He demands respect. He demands worship. And He's the only Savior of the world, the absolute exclusive Savior of the world. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Without Him, you don't stand a chance. You ought to pray for the preachers to preach boldly. You could spend a lot of hours doing that. Take a look, if you will, at John chapter 15 and verse 16. Here's another verse that I'm sure is in the will of God. No doubt about it. Comes right out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's talking to His apostles and He says to them, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you." Now, there's a lot more there. But I want you to think about something else you can pray for. How about fruit and fruit that'll remain? How about fruit? How about praying for fruit? Lord, we want to see souls saved. Lord, we want to see people repenting and calling home of Jesus Christ. And how about, Lord, those that have called, those that have stepped forward, how about they continue?
Amen.
God, we don't just want to see people make professions of faith. We want to see people get baptized. We want to see people read their Bibles. We want to see people come to church. We want to see people grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. We want to see people go out and witness. We want to see some of them surrender to preach and go to the mission field. God, we want to see fruit that will remain. You reckon that's worth praying for? You reckon God will hear that prayer? I guarantee you He'll hear that prayer. He might not want you to marry the one you're praying to marry. He just might not. But He wants fruit, and He wants fruit to remain. He'll answer that prayer, and you ought to be praying. You say, well, God's going to do it anyway. No, 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 no. You haven't read your Bible very well. You better read it. There's lots of things God would do if He just had His people in line. You know what God's going to do? God is going to work through you. You know what He's decided? In this book it tells us He decided not to preach the gospel with angels. Looks like it'd been a better job done. Looks like if He had just got old Gabriel or Michael and one of them just come down here and blast all that, everybody believe. But you know something? Everybody didn't believe when Jesus Christ was preaching it.
That's right.
after all the hullabaloo and all the troubles and everything, and after preaching for 3.5 years, there aren't but 120 names in the upper room in the book of Acts. That's not a big crowd. That's less than we got here. 120 names up there in that prayer meeting. What happened to all the rest of those disciples? What happened to those big crowds that were falling? Maybe they were saved, maybe they weren't. I don't know. All I know is they wasn't that big a crowd when it came time to praying for the Holy Spirit to come down. You reckon it might be worth your while to pray? The Bible says in the Psalms, you hindered the Holy One of Israel. Why'd they hinder him? Because they didn't believe. They wouldn't let him work in their life. You hindered the Holy One of Israel. God want to do something in your life and you won't let him? Maybe you ought to pray for fruit in your life. The fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you need the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Holy Spirit can be in you and not much fruit showing because you're hindering the Holy Spirit from coming out. Oh, I tell you what, we might ought to be praying, and something you could start praying for. You could serve God by prayer, praying that fruit would abound in those mission churches, that fruit would abound in Colorado Springs, and fruit would abound in Russia, fruit would abound in China, fruit would abound in Brazil, fruit would abound in Mexico, that a revival would come to Mexico. I tell you what, how about a revival in San Antonio?
Amen.
Yeah, you could pray for fruit, and that your fruit would remain. I was a missionary in Guatemala, Central America for 3 years. I went back a long time later. The church I'd started was still there. The benches I built were still being used. The pulpit I built was still being used. But it was a different name and different things and whatever. But I had 10 preachers that I'd won to the Lord and taught to preach and went out and started them preaching. And 20 years after I was there, 7 out of 10 were still preaching. Some of them preaching Presbyterian, some of them preaching Baptist, some of them preaching different ones, CIM missions. That didn't make a difference to me. You know what a joy that was to me? I don't know where the other three were. I don't know if they failed or what. I just didn't get in contact with them. I never found them. But 7 out of 10 were still preaching the gospel. That's an answer to my prayers. That's a blessing. When I come around and I see somebody years later that's still preaching the gospel, I say, praise God. Somebody's still going on for Jesus Christ. I pray for fruit. That fruit would abound and that fruit would be permanent. Only thing I'm worried about. I'm not too worried about things that are just going to pass away. If it's going to burn, don't worry much about it. And everything you can see and feel is going to burn. You know what you ought to put your money into? You know what to put your effort into? The souls of men and the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, you can put your money into putting shoes on people that don't have shoes and putting hats on people that don't own hats and coats on people that are cold. But I tell you what, the coats are going to wear out, the shoes are going to wear out, and they're going to die and go to hell. If you don't get them the gospel. So the number one thing to put your money, your time, your effort, and your prayers into is the preaching of the Word of God that souls might be saved forever. Well, take a look at another verse. Look at Psalm 71 and verse 18. As I've gotten older, I was laughing here a while back and I had Billy with me. We were running around doing something. I said, well, son, I'm just getting old before my time. He said, no, Dad, you're old. It's not before your time. You're there. You had your life. All right. Good enough. Old Billy, he'll cut you, won't he? Psalm 71, 18. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. God, I want to show you strength. I want to show you power. Reckon that's worth praying for. That's worth praying. You know what you could pray, mamas and daddies? You get up every day and say, God, show your strength in my children. Show your power to my children. Maybe you ought to pray for that. Maybe some of these kids wouldn't get so messed up if they had mom and daddy praying for them. Maybe you wouldn't lose some of yours. Maybe they'd come back if you spent some time praying for them. We spend a lot of time criticizing. We spend a lot of time doing things our way and trying to make them like us. Maybe we'd pray for them. Get on your knees and bathe them in prayer. Serve God by praying for your children. Serve God by prayer. How about praying for some of these preachers? How about praying for some of these missionaries? How about praying for some of the families in the church? How about praying for a few people you don't see here this morning? If that old woman, at least 84 years old, maybe 105 years old, could serve God by prayer night and day, why can't you? If it was the concerted opinion, the united opinion of all these apostles and preachers after the coming of the Holy Spirit of God, that we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. It just might be very good advice for you. My Christian friend, You've wasted a lot of time that ought to have been spent in prayer. You've let a lot of things go down and you've lost. You have literally lost some battles. You've lost some opportunities. You've lost some chances. You've lost what God could have given you because you didn't pray. You know, God knows what we need, but God tells us to pray for it. And I honestly believe that God's not just going to give you what you need. He's going to give you what you pray for. You might ought to spend a ministry serving God by prayer. My Christian friend, this altar's open for you. If you'd like to talk to the Lord today, if you'd like to get on your knees and let God know something, you do that today. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you're not saved. Today is the day of salvation. You ought to come to God. Because until you're saved, you're not a child of God. You need to be born into the family of God. And God didn't come to save good and righteous people. God came to save sinners. So if you can't admit yourself to be a sinner in need of a Savior, there is no salvation for you. But I promise you, God will save a sinner. If you call upon Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive your sins, He'll save your soul and change your life. We're going to sing number 249. Number 249. Would you come to Jesus? If you're here without Jesus Christ, would you come and be saved? We'll get somebody to pray with you. Come on down here. Take me by the hand. Say, listen, brother preacher, I want to get saved today. My Christian friend, if God's spoken to your heart, this altar's open. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you that you do hear and answer prayer, that God, you're a mighty God and a merciful God. And oh God, we pray that you'd hear the prayers that have been prayed in this place this morning, that you'll hear, you'll answer, you'll bless. We do pray for anyone here that's lost, that has not committed themselves to you, that does not know you as Savior, Lord, never been born again. We ask you, Lord, to save their souls and change their lives. We ask, Lord, you'd have your way in this service. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.